Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
All right, Denton, let's talk about the four quarterfinal games and, you know, look ahead to, you know, we don't have to wait long. I mean, it'll be a week, 6 nights, next Thursday night, next Friday night for the semifinals. But where do you want to start?
I think we should start with last night, and then we will eventually get to the Peach Bowl with Texas and Arizona State.
I want to talk a little bit about Penn State and Boise and Ashton Gentry as well, but go ahead.
All right, so, I mean, last night we had the delayed Sugar Bowl thanks to some of the terror stuff that took place in New Orleans. We talked about this a little bit while you were gone. I thought the powers that be, the people that are more powerful than, like, Greg Sankey and the people that are not football people, I thought they handled this really well, Kevin, but the game itself was... I mean, this was kind of a masterclass from Marcus Freeman. I didn't think that Kirby Smart was going to be vastly outcoached or outcoached, period, at all in the college football playoff. But Marcus Freeman really came with it. He understood what the assignment was and what he was going up against. And somehow the biggest storyline, at least from Georgia's perspective, was not their backup quarterback. I thought he actually played relatively okay. It was the fact that Kirby wasn't prepared for some of the stuff that Marcus Freeman was going to do. And the overarching issue with Georgia's season this year, they can't run the football. They haven't been able to run the football against anybody. And when you had a backup quarterback in, you would think they would lean on the running game, and they couldn't. They had to put all of it on this backup quarterback, who, again, he didn't play necessarily poorly at all. I thought he was actually the one bright spot from that for them offensively, but they just could not be a two-dimensional offensive team. And when you're going up against a team like Notre Dame, that they don't have an Ohio State defense, but they have a good defense, if you're going to be one-dimensional, it's going to be really, really difficult to beat them. So I was very impressed with the way that Notre Dame played, the mentality that they had. But I'm scratching my head at Georgia and saying, what happened to the Georgia Bulldogs team that we once knew? Because this was not them this year.
Well, no, it wasn't. And to your point, Gunnar Stockton was not the issue in this game. In fact, you realize pretty early on that their only means of moving the football was really throwing the football. Even trying to run it got to the point where it's like, don't even try. You can't. You know this. Notre Dame has been able to do two things, you know, post the Northern Illinois game early in the year. They identified who they were, which is, we're not a Riley Leonard throwing the football team. We are a running football team with our quarterback significantly involved in the run game. And man, can we stop the run and get after it defensively. I picked Notre Dame before this bracket to win the whole thing. Who did I have them beating? Oregon? Did I have them beating Oregon in the final?
Yes, I think I did. I think we both had. You had Notre Dame beating Oregon. I had Oregon beating Notre Dame.
really good point about Marcus Freeman. First of all, they make so many plays and have all year on special teams. They had two near block punts on the first drive of the game that both resulted in running into the punter penalties, none of which gave Georgia a first down. I thought it was actually not as close as even 23-10 reflected. I thought Notre Dame looked to be the better team. Georgia's best opportunity was to get some big plays in the passing game, and they got a few. You know, they got a few big plays from Stockton to Arian Smith, that one early. And, you know, Dylan Bell was kind of banged up in and out, you know, the entire way. But I'm impressed with Notre Dame and their ability to really get after it, even without one of their best defensive players who was not available for this game. Impressive special teams-wise. I do have one question for you, because you were on the air doing your, you know, college football show on Sirius XM afterwards. The play in which, you know, they burn basically the clock out on that final drive. It was like I think they burned 7 to 8 minutes of the clock. Thankfully, by the way, I had the under in this game. But on the fourth down in which they ran 11 out onto the field at the last second, and they weren't going to their offense back out onto the field for the punting unit, Kirby Smart said that play was illegal. And they didn't say it during the broadcast. And let me just set it up real quickly. Fourth and one from their own 18, 23-10 Notre Dame. They've got their punt unit out there. And with 15 seconds left on the play clock, they ran their offense back out onto the field quickly as the special teams unit sprinted off the field. Georgia is allowed to make their substitutions to get the defense out there. And then Georgia jumped off sides. So they got a penalty, and they kept possession of the ball. But Kirby said you're not allowed to run 11 off at the same time, and that they mess that up. So what's true about that?
So he did say that, and he cited an example from 2017 where they attempted to do something very similar against Tennessee, and SEC officials, I would underline SEC in this instance, but SEC officials told him, hey, we don't like you doing that, do not do that. And then last night, you had Big 12 officials. But the thing is, Kevin, because obviously the overarching rules of college football are the same. It doesn't differ massively from crew to crew, but I don't know that there is a direct rule that says you cannot do that. He was just operating under that assumption because an SEC officiating crew 7 years ago told him they didn't like him doing that. And that's such a deep cut rule where if you're asking about it, like, I don't know how they would communicate the changes in the officiating crew on a rule that is as deep cut is that one, because I can't remember the last time I've seen something like that be done. My guess is that you haven't been able to see it since around 2017, or maybe not frequently, because of Kirby Smart.
Well, you either can do it or you can't do it, but based on college football rules. Rules don't change from one conference to the other.
They don't change, but the officiating crews might not like it. And that's where you allow some of the officiating bias into it. And that's why he has a
bias with the lack of a targeting call in the Arizona State game. Yeah. I'm with you. Notre Dame, well coached. Kirby Smart's one of the best, and impressive. And their defense is nasty, even not 100% healthy. It's a nasty defense, and they get Penn State, which we will talk about here in a moment. But let's get to the next game you want to get to.
So next we are going to get to Texas and Arizona State. I mean, this one was, I would say, a top four college football playoff game ever. You know, I'd throw Georgia-Alabama, the birth of Tua Tagovailoa, on the list. I would say that Clemson, when they beat Alabama with Hunter Renfrow with like 6 seconds left, is on the list, and maybe that Georgia-Oklahoma game where Baker Mayfield planted
54-51.
The 54-50, yeah, yeah. I mean, that one would be on this list as well. But I thought what we saw from Texas and Arizona State, especially when you take into consideration who the two teams were, you know, if this happens with Texas, and let's just say we get something similar to this in Texas and Ohio State, we're going to love it, right? But I think it really captivated America because nobody really knew who Arizona State was. I knew who Cam Scataboo was because I've been watching him intently for the final 4 or 5 weeks of the season. But if you're not regularly watching Arizona State, you don't know who this big white dude in the backfield is that's running over dudes like a tank. I mean, he's doing what you and I would do when we were in our younger days. You're puking and rallying on New Year's Day just so you can get after it some more. I think that the kind of the thrill of Arizona State and the who the hell are these guys really added another dynamic to this game that really made people fall in love with it. But it was fun, man. I mean, that fourth quarter and Scadaboo literally taking this program and putting it on his shoulders. He was catching passes for 60 plus yards. He was throwing touchdowns. He was running touchdowns. I mean, he was gassed at the end of this thing, but this was what you hoped for when you got the 12 team playoff, because Arizona State doesn't get in if it's a four. They don't get in likely if it's an eight, but because it's 12, you get a program like that in and they give us an all-time classic in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I thought it was spectacular. I thought Quinn Ewers was okay. I didn't think he was great. He was okay, but we got the birth of a superstar in college football, and he's not going to be there much longer. He's going to the NFL draft this year, but you got a birth of a superstar, which I think that made it worth it. I loved that game. It was absolutely epic. And then, of course, there was that targeting call that you alluded to just a bit ago.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiance. Imagine your fiance walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiance own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I mean, Cam Scadaboo put on a show for, you know, the ages. It was one of the all-time, when you're not, take quarterbacks out of it. And you look at just the other positions that typically can't impact the game like a quarterback can. This game through three quarters, really three and a half quarters, was a snoozer. Now, Arizona State moved the football, and Texas, after their opening drive, couldn't move the football. Arizona State, you know, was right there with them except on the scoreboard. They're down 24-8. It's pretty much game over. Scadaboo throws a touchdown pass on a halfback option, catches a bomb for 62 yards on a double move, and rushes for, I think it was like, you know, 70 to 80 of his 143 yards over basically the final 6 minutes of the game and then into overtime. All the while, as Denton mentioned, it physically to the point of being so exhausted and vomiting on the sidelines. I mean, think about all-time kind of performances. You know, Kellen Winslow in the, you know, one of the greatest NFL playoff games of all time, you know, had to be shot up with intravenous fluids, you know, during the game, and he comes back out after being carried off, and he blocks a field goal, and he catches, you know, 15 balls or whatever it was in the Orange Bowl in Miami in a playoff game. This was that kind of a performance. It was one of the individual epic performances, even though it came primarily over the last 6 to 7 minutes of the fourth quarter and then into the overtimes. He ended up with 143 yards rushing, 99 yards in receptions, two touchdowns, a two-point conversion run, and a touchdown pass of 42 yards that he threw. By the way, just real quickly, Denton, he's clearly a pro prospect, and he will get drafted. He's really short. He's a competitive badass for the ages, no doubt. I think he's more about competitive will and power than he is about vision, but time will tell on that. The performance was incredible. By the way, Sam Levitt, their quarterback, made some huge plays in the game as well. So, you know, here's where... Oh, one other quick thing on a player. Quinn Ewers isn't very good. He's going back to college, and apparently $6 million on the table for him. You've been reading about this for NIL.
Thank God,
and a number of spots.
$6 million.
What?
Thank God it's not my $6 million. That is what any investor would tell you is a bad investment.
He just isn't very good. He made a big-time 4th-and-13 throw, okay? We'll get to that play when it got to overtime. But they're going with Arch Manning because clearly Arch is the future. And, you know, you can have him. Look, if you don't have a college quarterback, you can do a lot worse than Quinn Ewers. I'm not saying he can't play, you know, at a high level in college. He's to me, doesn't see it ever. He just doesn't see it, which is why, you know, he's consistently sacked and inaccurate and everything else. Anyway, there is a critical play in this game that probably many of you, you know, have seen already. After Arizona State tied the game up, they get the ball back, and they are at midfield, and they've got a third down and 15 with just over a minute to go. They're driving for now what would be a potential game-winning field goal attempt. More on that in a second. But there is a clear targeting penalty that isn't called on the field, but they go to the replay to review for a targeting on a pass that was completed but 5 yards short of the first down marker, which meant it's 4th and 5, or if they come back with targeting, it's first down, and now Arizona State's moving towards, actually at that point, they would have been in field goal range or certainly approaching it with still a minute to go in the game. Denton, you and I watch a lot of college football. At 12 noon in a Big Ten game between Illinois and Northwestern, that's targeting. In a 9 o'clock start, you know, in an SEC game between Tennessee and Mississippi State, that's targeting. That's targeting 100 times out of 100 during the regular season. And they came back and they said it was not targeting. That was incredibly sketchy for anybody watching it. It felt like they didn't want Arizona State to win the game. And by the way, there's no guarantee Arizona State would have won the game. Their kicking situation is a fiasco. It's been terrible. And they missed a couple of kicks in this game. They were on their third string kicker. So there was no guarantee they were going to make the kick. But they certainly should have had the opportunity. By the way, maybe they score a touchdown. There was still a minute to go, and they would have been at the 38-yard line or whatever. How do they not make that call?
Yeah, that one was brutal. You said 100 out of 100 times, that's targeting. I guess that was time 101. I don't understand. You know, the argument was from the ESPN on-screen official was that there was no upward trajectory. And, like, I get that. But it was
it didn't matter per the rule, though. You look at the rule, it was a defenseless receiver.
And it was head-to-head contact.
Yes.
I don't think that you need upward trajectory. I don't think that you need a crown of a helmet. The defenseless thing is the more important element of the rule there. You can't hit a defenseless player in the head because there's no way to defend himself. So I don't understand how they let that one go. I mean, if you want to dive into the conspiracies, be my guest. I don't really have a better answer for you. It heavily benefited Texas, and it really didn't help Arizona State. And obviously, the way that things ended up panning out, you now get Texas and Ohio State. Now, I would just say Arizona State, as you mentioned, they still had opportunities to win the game after that, and they weren't able to capitalize. So I'm not as upset with that in mind, but the rule itself, if you just isolate that, the fact that you had officials with the benefit of replay watch that play over and say, nah, we're good, we're just going to let this one stand, is alarming.
Let me just say this. What you just said has been mentioned many times post this game, that Arizona State, you really can't go back to that because they had multiple opportunities, including on the 4th and 13 in overtime. That doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Like, you had, I want both. I want the 4th and 13 stop in overtime, but I want the chance to never get to that. And they should have been given a chance to never get to that. I mean, they had to withstand the second missed field goal over the last few minutes by Texas for the game to go to overtime. I mean, the kicker, Bert Auburn, missed a 38-yarder at the gun. I mean, or they would have been beat, and it would have felt much worse. But that was awful. Like, that is where you get the conspiracy theorists to have legitimate juice and substance. Because even though Cam Scadaboo at that point, I don't think anybody would have been displeased to see him in a semifinal game. The bottom line is, Texas is a big-time heavy hitter. Arizona State isn't. And a Texas-Ohio State game is a massive, you know, matchup. They should have had a chance to continue that drive, more likely than not get into solid field goal range. Who knows? Maybe score a touchdown at that point. Because there was still 58 seconds left after that non-targeting call. I hated it. The 4th and 13, I don't know why you don't bracket Matthew Golden in that situation to let Ewers actually unload that and unload that quickly because there was some extra man pressure. I thought was stupid. And it just, it was unfortunate. Too bad they lose 39-31 in double overtime. You know what I would have hated? I would have hated had Arizona State scored, made the two-pointer, and we got into a two-point conversion. That would have been so anticlimactic to the finish of that game if we had been dealing with that. Real quickly, too, how the hell, and I asked Scott about this, and he didn't have an answer. I'm like, how the hell does your network start the Rose Bowl before this game ends? This is not a Fox CBS divisional playoff round situation. You know, in the NFL playoffs, ESPN's got, you know, paid the big dollars for this playoff. Hey, Oregon and Ohio State, you guys are going to start your game after this one ends. It may disrupt your pregame warm-up routine, but you will start it. We can start this game at 6 now since there's no Sugar Bowl. How do you allow the Oregon-Ohio State game to start while this game's still going on?
I mean, that's almost as
big. By the way, Scott did not have an answer for that.
He did not have an
answer.
I couldn't. That's as big of a mishap as the targeting thing. Like, how do you allow there to be any sort of overlap, especially as you are a company that very much enjoys ratings? Like, it's the easiest lead-in in the world. Hey, just stay here, and then we'll start the game. Instead, you start it on ESPN2 or the ESPN app or ESPN News or ESPN Deportes or ESPN The Ocho or whatever other 86 networks they put it on. All you got to do is hold it for an extra 10 to 15 minutes because it really didn't take
that
long.
Well, it could have been, you know, look, we saw Georgia Tech play almost an additional 50 minutes of overtime play with the stupid two-point thing that went to 7 overtimes. So it could have been another hour. I understand that, but you know what? It doesn't matter at that point. You know, Ohio State and Oregon will give you ample time to restart your whole pregame routine. We'll start the Rose Bowl at 7 o'clock if we have to. We don't have another game tonight. The Sugar Bowl's been postponed. That's beyond me. I mean, you know, there was we missed basically 6-7 minutes of the first quarter. I mean, I recorded it just so I could go back and catch up and watch it, but anyway,
it was a big first couple of minutes to miss because Ohio, like, you get to the game and Ohio State's already up 7-0, and you're like, what happened? We are so locked in on Texas and Arizona State, we didn't see the first touchdown pass with Jeremiah Smith going crazy.
Jeremiah Smith, oh my God! Should we break and come back and talk about the final two?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right, let's do that. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.